God's going to take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Genesis. We're going to look at something this morning in the early part of history, in the beginning when God created everything. We're going to look at a little bit about Adam and Eve and the relationship there and the types and pictures found in this story of Adam and Eve and the fall of man. We're not going to get a lot into the creation this morning. There's about four or five different views on creation that I respect, that have scripture for how they present it and how they view it. Ken Hovind is very brilliant on it. Ken Ham with the Creation Museum has a look at it. Clarence Larkin had a very interesting view on creation. The guys we've studied under has a interesting view on creation. God, we've all got the same scripture. God just didn't give us all the details. So however you view that, if it's scriptural, then I'm okay with it. But let me say this. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, if you're in Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God. Duh. In the beginning, God. Now, if you don't believe that, I can probably tell you where you stand on just about every political position in the this country today. If you do not believe, or whether you do believe, in the beginning, God. The Bible says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. So it's God doing it. Here it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now you get over the book of John, you'll find out that it was Jesus Christ that was doing the creating. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and was not anything made that was made. Without him was not anything made that was made. So, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Then in verse 26 it says, and God said, let us make man in our image. What's that talking about? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Let us make man in our image. You were created with a soul, a spirit, and a body. God has a soul, God the Father. God has a spirit, the Holy Spirit. God has a body, Jesus Christ, the visible image of the invisible God. God manifest in the flesh. So he said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And the Lord God said, it is not good. I'm in 2:18 now, Genesis 2:18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh and stood thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. So here we see the beginning of the human race, and God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he made a woman from the rib of the man that he had made, and then he placed the man and the woman in the garden. You know, there's nothing more sensible, there's nothing that makes more sense for the beginning of creation that it would be a man and a woman in a garden. Every person here today came from a man and a woman in a garden. You take away the man, life ceases. You take away the woman, life ceases. You take away the food source, you take away the garden, and it don't last. So, it usually requires about 13 years of formal education for a man to doubt the simple creative act of Almighty God. Now notice here that when God created woman and brought her into the man, what Adam said in verse 23, he said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Now notice in Genesis 5, something very interesting. God called their name Adam. God never called Eve, Eve. Genesis 5:2, male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. And the day when they were created. Now Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 6, he said, wherefore they are no more twain but one flesh. You're a team. Now, a while back, I noticed something very interesting on the story with Adam and Eve. You know that it appeared before the fall of man that both Adam and Eve, their desire was to God. They were both serving God. That was their desire. You know that when the Lord told Eve that her desire shall be to thy husband, that is part of the curse. You already figured that out, though, didn't you, Deborah? All right. Isn't that interesting? That was part of the curse, that your desire shall be to your husband. Wow. So it appears that both their desire was to one thing, serving God, loving God, trusting God. I think that's how it's going to be when we get to glory. We'll know one another. The wife of my youth will love one another, but our desire will both be to Jesus Christ. The desire goes back to what it was before the fall. Just thought I'd throw that in, no extra charge. They're more but one flesh. And this is the first marriage in the Bible that God said they became one flesh. Now notice in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Ephesians 5:25, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives, watch it, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That's the relationship that a husband is to have with his bride. The same relationship that Christ had with his bride. Love your wives even as Christ also loved the church, watch it, and gave himself for it. Then in Ephesians 5:30, it says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Didn't we just read that where Eve became part of Adam's bone, of his bone, flesh of his flesh? Now we see that as the church, as a blood-bought, born-again church, we are now members of Christ's body. We're members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. In 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one spirit, capital S, we are all baptized into one body. Galatians 3:28 says, for ye are all one in Christ. All right, where are you going, preacher? Well, we see here in Scripture a husband and wife. A husband and wife relationship that correlates directly with the relationship that Christ has with the church. Husband, love your wives. Now watch it, even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it. Now, what was that relationship between Christ and the church? He loved the church. He was a servant to the church, and he gave himself sacrificially for the church. A loving relationship. He washed the disciples' feet. He humbled himself as a servant to the church. And that's the relationship that God intended it to be between a husband and wife. Now, let's look at this relationship as it relates to Adam and Eve. And then we'll see the eventual fall of man. That's where I'm going this morning. It says in Genesis 3 and verse 1, it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Notice it don't say right and wrong. It says good and evil. That's a different burden. A three-year-old will do something wrong and look at mama and know that she did something her mama told her not to do. But it's a much older age when that child understands that disobeying mama is also a sin against God. That's good and evil versus right and wrong. Don't get those two confused. When the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes. My, isn't that interesting? A tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So here in Genesis 3, we'll see the temptation of Eve, the disobedience to God against the one prohibition that God had given. Man, they had it made. Had it made. You know, and so many things in this account. We're just going to skip over a few of the high points, but they're just a ton of doctrinal information and stuff, types and pictures. And first of all, that one thing we notice here, the first thing that Eve did is she took from the Word of God. You know, every heresy in the world today is either taking from or adding to the Word of God as a rule. Secondly, she added to the Word. What'd she leave out? Well, the Lord told him she may freely eat of all those trees. She didn't mention that word freely. He just said, yeah, you eat of all the trees. Secondly, she added to the word, by saying, neither shall you touch it. God didn't tell her that, or we don't see an account of that. So she started out by adding to, by taking from and then adding to. In verse 4, we see Satan full of subtlety, prodding her with a lie to disobey God. Oh, come on, Eve. Man, you're a beautiful, intelligent woman. Man, it'd be silly to think that you would die just from simply eating the fruit of that tree. Man, that don't make sense, Eve. Look, you're smart enough to know, to make up your own mind. You and I both know that God is love, and he would never let anything happen to you just by disobeying what he told you to do. The Lord would later comment about Satan in John 8:44. He said, and when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And the devil has been misquoting God ever since. He loves to add to, take away from the Word of God, and that's why we have a seems like a new Bible version about every 2 weeks. They love adding to and taking from the Word of God. Also notice in our text this morning, some things in verse 6, Genesis 3:6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, something good to eat, lust of the flesh, it was pleasant to the eyes, the lust of the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, that's the pride of life. You remember what the Bible says, 1 John 2:16 says, for all that is in the world, watch it, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So you see, all these things were in play for Satan to use against the woman. Even though she did not have a sinful nature, you get it in your head, you get it in your head that you're stronger than the devil. Hey, it was too subtle for Eve, and she didn't have a fallen nature. Look out. I'm under the protection of God and that precious blood of Christ. I'm capable of anything, so I ask God, God, you put a hedge about me. God, you help me through this because I don't have the strength. Don't pretend to have the strength to resist on my own. I need you, God. I need you to do it. Even though she did not have the sinful nature, she was tempted by her own lust, and the devil uses that against her. A lot of folks say, well, the devil made me do it. No, it could have been just your old sinful flesh lust that did it instead of the devil. You give the devil a lot of credit where it was just your own fleshy lust. James 1:13 says, let no man say when he is tempted that I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. neither tempteth he any man. God isn't tempted by those things. Your flesh is tempted, but God isn't. The new creature isn't. And isn't the spirit inside of you that's tempted? But every man is tempted, watch it. I'm in James 1:14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Understand that being tempted is not the sin. It's yielding to that temptation. When it conceives, it brings forth sin. The Bible says the Lord was tempted in all things, yet without sin. You say, well, we preach against homosexuality. That's because the Bible, God's against it, we're against it. But a man can be born and be effeminate and never yield to it, and he's okay with God. It's when you start yielding to those things that are against what God says that you have a problem. So we learn not to yield. Some men are born with that lust. They'll chase every skirt that comes along. If you've got that lust ingrained in you, don't yield to it. Maybe your temptation genetically is higher than someone else. Alcohol, there's a great propensity, genetic propensity toward alcoholism and toward addiction. It's not that draw, that temptation that gets you, it's yielding to it. When the lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. In fact, the Bible says you got to fill that urge with something different. It says, be not drunken with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Instead of doing that, do something godly. Different kind of spirit. Holy Spirit. Then hereby yielding those lusts, we see what happened. With Eve, it says she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So here we see it. The fall of man, all the elements of worldly, fleshly lust playing a part here, along with the subtlety and deceitfulness of our adversary, the devil, the father of lies. And it culminates in a sentence of death on all mankind with a curse of death. When that sin occurred, God cannot abide sin. God is holy. He had to withdraw his spirit. He had to withdraw that which was holy. That Holy Spirit, he had to withdraw it from mankind because he couldn't abide sin because he's holy. The Bible says in Romans 5:12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Interesting correlation, Brother Phil, haven't got all this figured out. But seeing that God withdrew himself from Adam, that holy part, that Holy Spirit, that indwelt Adam, he had to withdraw it because of the sin. And you notice at the cross, oh, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he was laden down with the sin of the world. And God had to withdraw himself. I don't have all that figured out. Don't pretend to. Ezekiel 18:4, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Genesis 3:6, and when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now here's where it gets kind of interesting. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Eve was deceived. She gave the fruit to her husband, Adam. But look at 1 Timothy 2:14. Paul wrote, says, and Adam, watch it, was not deceived. But the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Did you see that? Adam was not deceived. Said, and the woman, it says, was deceived and was in the transgression, which you get the inference that follows that Adam was not in the transgression. So where are you going to? We're going to talk about Adam as a type and a picture of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and his bride. Okay, you've got to pay attention now here. Here in Genesis, we see an account of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. It says here in this verse that Adam was not deceived. So if Adam was not deceived, and the Bible says he wasn't, then Adam must have willingly took on the sin of his bride. Are you with me? Adam, as a type of Jesus Christ, he was not deceived. He was not in the transgression, but he willingly, he loved his wife, he loved his bride, and he willingly took on the sin of his bride. My. Isn't that what Christ did? For he hath, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Don't say he was a sinner. He became sin for us. He knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. No transgression from the Lord. In fact, the Lord kept every jot and tittle of the law. Adam willingly here in our text had to have laid down his life for his bride. Remember the Lord when he gave his life, he said, no man taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself. That's what Adam did for his bride. That's what Jesus Christ did for his bride. John 10:11, Lord said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So here in our text, a picture and type of Jesus Christ and his bride. Adam, as a type of Christ, willingly took on the sin of his bride. And as such, he tasted death for her transgression. Wow. He tasted death for her transgression. Dr. Harold Seilers, now with the Lord, he stated that surely God must have maybe revealed his plan of redemption to Adam in this terrible time in history. The very plan of redemption, you know, is also pictured in type as we'll see what happens next. Stay with me. There was some bloodshed to cover their transgressions. You say, well, did Adam and Eve go to heaven? Well, they went to paradise because the Lord covered their transgression and their sin by killing an animal and furnishing them with skins to cover their nakedness. A picture of the shed blood. It is probably a lamb that God killed, don't say. Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Those sins were covered at paradise till the Lord showed up and completed that redemption by shedding his blood on the cross. My. Unto Adam also, to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Genesis 3:21. Note here that the covering for their sin required that shedding of blood. Adam and Eve, there they stood naked before God. The fig leaves were not adequate. There'd be nothing that the works of their hands could accomplish in order to cover the sin they'd committed. So God provided the first blood sacrifice for the remission of sins. The scripture don't say. I think it was probably a lamb. And by doing so, God foretold the redemption story of the Lamb of God. Romans 5:14, the Bible says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is in the is a figure of him that was to come. Here it talks about Adam's transgression. He took on that sin willingly. Wow. Do you know when God withdrew that spiritual life from Adam? That's why the Lord said, you must be born again, because we were all born in Adam's image after the fall. And Adam begat sons and daughters after his likeness and after his image, not in the image of God. The Bible says, now to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And we get that spiritual life back whenever we trust Jesus Christ. You know, from the time that Adam sinned and God withdrew that spirit from Adam, that there was not a man on the earth, there wasn't anyone on the earth that had that image of God until Jesus Christ showed up. You know what the Bible calls Jesus Christ? The second Adam. The last Adam. Isn't that interesting? Wow. So the Lord shows up. He's called a quickening spirit. He makes alive again. He's a firstborn of many. Brethren, you trust him and he makes you alive. He quickens that spirit that was dead in you that Adam lost. Let me move on. About done. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure, there it is, of him that was to come, Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 5, 15:22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. When you and I were born, we were born under the sentence of death. I was born dead in trespass and sins. Romans 5, 6, the Bible says, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That is me. 5, 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die, but God commendeth his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hey, his love is toward you this morning. It's in your direction. And he accepts you just exactly like you are. Man, when I was young, I used to think, man, I'm not going to get saved. I can't live that holy, pious, churchy thing. Man, that's not who I am. I'm like party down. I can't live that kind of life. But you know, that scripture says that God commendeth his love toward us in the while we were yet sinners. He accepted me just like I was. He knew how I was. Worse than I thought I was. And still, he accepted me. Wow, what a thing. He took on my sin for me, just as Adam took on the sin of Eve. While even toward us, God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, you don't come to Christ as a choir boy. You come to Christ as a low-down, rascal sinner. Needing his grace. That's how I got it too. And you, Colossians 2:13, back done. Oh, I'm running 3 minutes over time. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he, watch it, quickened together with him. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, made alive again with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. 1 Corinthians 15:45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Watch it. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Everyone stand up. I'm done this morning. Jesus Christ willingly took on the sin of his bride. The question is, are you willing to receive his sacrifice in your place this morning? Are you willing to accept, to receive what he did for you? The Bible says, to as many as received him. One day the disciples asked the Lord, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he hath sent. Do you believe it? Has it been the kind of belief that you've embraced what he did? You've appropriated what he did on the cross for you, one-on-one? If you've never done that, why don't you step out this morning Altar's open. Maybe you've just got a burden on your heart for whatever reason, but the Lord's willing to save you and accept you just exactly like you are. Then He moves in. That spirit's changed. Your countenance changes. And He'll start a work of grace in you and will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. As we sing, Jeff, what page?
271.